select foreign students.
Mama, do we have to leave it there? Mamadou Tal was threatened with deportation. That was during the Biden administration, and now it faces this executive order by Trump. And I want to thank Eitan Netchen. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Hey, everyone. I'm Shay from Planned Parenthood. Here's some sad facts about abortion. Abortion is really common. Chances are you know someone who's had an abortion. In the United States, about 1 in 4 women will have one by the age of 45. Abortion is extremely safe. Abortion is safer than getting your tonsils out or your wisdom teeth pulled. And abortion doesn't increase your risk of cancer, infertility, mental health issues, or any other health problems. The majority of people who get abortions are already parents. 59% of people who have had abortions have had at least one childbirth experience. Most people in the U.S. think abortion should be legal by a wide margin. 80% of Americans want abortion to remain legal, even in states where politicians pass laws against abortion. For more information, visit PlannedParenthood.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB.
Hey, everyone. I'm Shay from Planned Parenthood.
Shay, hold on a second. Why is everything repeating? I feel like I've been through all this before. All right, we're going to figure that out, but let me just, again, remind you, you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the entire internet at WUSB.FM, and a big welcome back to our website. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, time for another edition of Off the Wall. I think I'm going to open every show from this point on with a big sigh, because it's It's going to get worse before it gets any better, if it ever does get better. Yes, a big welcome to everybody. This is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein, joined tonight by Kyle.
Obviously.
Well, it might not be obvious to a first-time listener.
Well, now it's obvious.
It's obvious now.
Because, you know, that's what I said.
Okay, you know, first of all, we don't have, because so much has been happening over the past couple of days, so much. A couple of stories kind of fell off because things changed. We were going to be talking about the tariffs against Mexico and Canada, and that's been postponed for 30 days because they stroked Trump's ego a little bit. So he thinks he won, even though basically they're agreeing to do the things they were doing anyway. And the things that they're being accused of, the things that Canada is being accused of, basically smuggling fentanyl into the country. I think that's one of the big things. When in actuality, more gets smuggled into Canada from the United States. But whatever. The point is, they were able to calm him down a little bit so that he'll believe he won something and postpone this for 30 days. But, you know, at some point, they're going to have to face the inevitable, which is basically an unhinged response of one sort or another that is going to drive prices up. It's going to crash economies. It's going to put a lot of people out of work. It's going to make many, many people suffer. Basically, everything that was predicted, it's happening right in front of our eyes. And you know, you can choose to ignore it, and I imagine many people are, but that's only going to last for so long before you realize that everything is falling apart around us. We almost were at a stage where there would have been a 25% tariff on everything that came from Canada and was brought into this country, and the same thing from Mexico, and vice versa, because they would have retaliated. That would have hurt people here, in Canada, in Mexico, and really not helped anyone. And for what reason? Nobody really understands that. Even the people that back Trump up, they're backing him up out of fear and because they don't know how to do anything else. So, you know, nobody can explain it. Nobody can really say, why is this necessary? These are allies. These are our friends, or they were our friends. Yeah, try going to a hockey game now where, you know, in Canada where they play the U.S. national anthem. Even today it will be booed because of the crap that we are pulling right now. And, yeah, I say we because it represents all of us. We're in this. We're in this up to our necks. And we had better do something about it or it's going to get much, much worse. So, fortunately, we can be a little calm for on that front. On the tariff front. The EU, though, Trump has now lined them up in his crosshairs. For some reason, they're pissing him off, and he's going to announce tariffs against those allies. I swear, the guy does not know what he's doing, what he's talking about. He has a bunch of yes-men around him agreeing to anything he says. It's a mad king. It really is a mad king that we have in power right now. And you have a really dangerous king right beside him in the guise of Elon Musk. Kyle, have you seen...
I thought you were talking about Netanyahu.
To remind me that there's a damn war criminal in Washington, D.C. right now who is able to walk around freely and leave this country not in shackles. Explain to me the justice there.
I think they're having a press conference now.
Why are they having a press conference? Wow. Hopefully they can lock the doors.
Anyway,
you know, Red Wedding type stuff. I'd like to see, you know, them basically, not with the beheadings and all. No, I mean, just get you know, capturing and justice and all that kind of thing.
Continue about the muskrat.
Muskrat. Is that his new nickname? I don't know the way to begin with Elon Musk. This guy was not elected. This guy is basically somebody who cannot handle power or authority without it going to his head. We've seen this in his companies, what he has done to Twitter. that is a blueprint for what is going to happen to this country unless we stop him. And what he has done over the past several days, it's indefensible. You know, you have somebody who is not an elected official going in, taking control of federal agencies, shutting them down, kicking out employees, getting his Gestapo behind him. It's, you know, I didn't predict anything like this. I couldn't predict anything like this. I don't think anyone on TV could have predicted that this is what was going to happen. But
they were,
it's what's happening.
They're more or less approximations. But as it's occurring, yeah, it's profoundly worse.
That's a way of putting it. All right, well, we'll get into that in a second. We just got this story before we came on, yes.
Be that as it may, this wasn't a contest to be right about what would happen.
No.
Even if, let's just say for the sake of argument, we weren't right. It was indeed not enough alarm.
Yeah. People didn't really take it seriously enough. And the question is, what can you do about it now? Well, not a whole lot you can do on the electoral front at this stage. We're in basically the worst period we could possibly be in because this is just getting started. It's 2 weeks since he's taken control. 2 weeks. And the earliest you'll be able to see any significant change, barring something catastrophic, is 2 years from now. 2 years. And 4 years if you want someone else to take over the reins of power where he is sitting right now. But he seems to think he might not last that long. This is a story that just came over the Associated Press. President Donald Trump said today he has given his advisors instructions to obliterate Iran if it assassinates him. Okay, that's unhinged. So, all right, so much for your peace-loving policies. So you're basically telling everybody around you that an entire country of people should be obliterated if they are suspected of assassinating him. First of all, if he is assassinated, it's going to take a while to figure out who, okay, because there are just so many entities that would be interested in that outcome. But even a state assassination, which our allies Israel do all the time, even something like that, if Israel can have legitimate targets in Lebanon and in Syria and in Iran and anywhere they want, really, well, then he's a legitimate target for Iran. Is that the world you want to live in? Is that the world you want to live in? Because it never stops. So, yeah, Trump's a legitimate target for Iran. They could do that. They could say it's in our interest to obliterate him. But, okay, so his response is to obliterate Iran. Now, did you know the folks that got assassinated in Lebanon and Gaza and all around the Middle East because Israel didn't like them, did you know you could obliterate Israel? Yeah, apparently that's okay. You can obliterate Israel if they assassinate somebody that you think is important. What kind of insane playground are we on? Oh, can you imagine Biden saying anything like this?
Well, it's the opposite of diplomacy.
Yeah, it's just warfare.
They're picking fights at every turn.
This just happened, okay? So we had a whole lot of stories to prepare, and this one just kind of edged its way to the top. So basically, this happened in an exchange with reporters while he was signing an executive order for the U.S. government to impose maximum pressure on Tehran. He said if they did that, they would be obliterated. I've left instructions. If they do it, they get obliterated. There won't be anything left. You know, I don't understand. How did this even come up? Did a reporter ask what happens if you get assassinated?
How many people
or did he
that?
Bring? I'm sure he brought this up himself.
How many people are in Iran? Like, that's a lot of people to obliterate.
A lot of people, yeah.
More than a billion? Or half a million?
No, there's not a billion people in Iran, but
100 million?
It's a lot of people. I don't know.
There's a lot of people there.
I don't need to be tested right now on the population of a foreign country.
I'll find out. Keep reading.
Yeah, you know what? Go visit Wikipedia or something. I don't know why they feel compelled to tell us this, but if Trump were assassinated, Vice President J.D. Vance would become president and would not necessarily be bound by any instructions left by his predecessor. These are the most comforting words I've heard all day. Wow. So if J.D. Vance becomes president after Trump is assassinated by Iran, he doesn't have to obliterate Iran. Oh, boy, let's start the celebrations now. What is going on? This is a fever dream. It has to be. Federal authorities have been tracking Iranian threats against Trump and other administration officials for years. So nothing really different here except really ramping up the volume. What do you got, Kyle?
91,567,738. So almost 100 million.
Okay, it's a lot of people.
It's like a third of our population, right? Or maybe less, maybe almost a quarter.
But any one of them, I value more than I value Trump. How about that?
At this stage?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean that.
That's not really that edgiest thing, but yeah, I mean,
you talk about
placing human value on scum that is doing this to its own populace. I mean, it's as bad as the things we used to condemn in other nation states.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's the point I'm trying to make is that if you can't have one set of rules for one group of people, another set of rules for a different group of people, and expect everybody to get along. Doesn't work. But, okay, so speaking of rubble and obliteration, let's look at Gaza. And apparently today, these two scumbags meeting in Washington, D.C. together, basically trading all kinds of evil plans and conspiracies. I'm talking about Trump and Netanyahu. Again, how is he allowed to travel? I don't get it. I what is the point of a world court if it has no power whatsoever? Of course, you know, the U.S. and Israel believe they're above justice on so many levels. So many levels. Everything that happens to Trump is illegal. You cannot investigate him at all. And any time you criticize anything that Netanyahu does, you're an anti-Semite. It's insane. It's completely crazy. But anyway, so what Trump said is that Palestinians have no choice but to leave Gaza. Why? Because of the devastation wrought by Israel's war with Hamas. I'm going to rewrite that a little bit. The devastation caused by Israel. All right? Because, you know, the war with Hamas, it's kind of a joke. I mean, sure, they've in the war. I'm not talking about October 7th. I'm talking about what has happened since then. There have been some casualties, a handful of casualties, not very many on the Israeli side. But we're talking, what is it? Is it 50,000 people, civilians yet? It's insane. It's to the point of absurdity. And to call that a war? No, it's not a war. It's a massacre. It's an absolute massacre. So, that is what caused the devastation. And apparently now, Trump's plan is to basically ethnically cleanse the area. Get them all out of there. Move them someplace else. They all look the same. They could all live in Jordan or Egypt or something like that. Doesn't matter. Get them out of here. We have this amazing waterfront property that we can develop. And what do you want to do? Turn it over to Israel? Make it the 52nd state after Canada? What? You know, whatever you want. It's a wish list. It's a new era. So, yeah, that's the headline out of today. That's what Trump and Netanyahu are plotting and scheming. They're just going to keep the Palestinians from even going back to Gaza at all. You voted for this. America, you voted for this. Do you think this will bring peace? Do you think this kind of reprehensible planning for a terrible future, you think that is going to inspire people to treat each other better? Since, according to a New York Times reporter, since taking office, President Trump has given mixed signals about what he sees for the future of Gaza, saying that there was exploration of temporarily relocating Palestinians while their land was rebuilt. Today, he left no doubt about where he was leaning, forced displacement, saying that he could see a beautiful area to resettle people permanently in nice homes and where they can be happy and not be shot, not be killed, not be knifed to death, but also just not be around. Mass forcible transfers of populations, you might have heard, is barred by the Geneva Conventions. Individual or mass forcible transfers, as well as deportations of protected persons from occupied territory to the territory of the occupying power or to that of any other country, occupied or not, are prohibited regardless of their motive. Can't believe I have to say this. It's disgusting. What else? What else? What else? You know, we need more time. It's just, there's so much bad news that we don't have enough time anymore. It's crazy. The FBI. I'm not the biggest fan of the FBI. You know, a lot of you know that. But what I see happening here, it's scary to have basically a fascist mob trying to dismantle them, going after people who were doing their job and investigating crimes. You know, there's a lot of criticism that I can hand out to almost every federal authority or organization. It doesn't mean whatever is sent to oppose them is better. Doesn't mean that at all. And what I'm seeing today, the headline reads, FBI turns over details of 5,000 employees who worked on January 6 cases to Trump's Justice Department. They've complied with demands to provide that Justice Department with details of thousands of employees who worked on investigations relating to the Capitol riot. And basically, the idea is that all those people are in great danger of losing their jobs or being investigated further or being targeted because they were doing their jobs. This is a Soviet-style purge. You know, for those of you who weren't around, you know, before Russia, there was the Soviet Union. And they did things like this a lot, where people fell out of favor. And they were purged. And they disappeared. We're not quite there yet, but boy, we're making some big steps.
I think people need to just play out, like, why this is necessary. Their interest in remaking the FBI in sort of the image of their supporters or their, tendencies is so that they are agents of their power, right? So that they can then be used and with complete fealty and loyalty to pursue, I guess, domestic and other sorts of opposition on their behalf. Because as it is now, right, if there are people there that will follow the Constitution, dare I say, you know, things that are, let's say, cumbersome and uniquely American, you know, honoring people's rights, these kinds of things, that really doesn't help them project that power. And if their aim is retribution en masse, they will need agents of their power to act in the ways they see fit. So it's not that they're like, that those supporting the FBI are like real keen on every case the FBI brings. We and many others point out at any given moment all sorts of failings or overbearing tactics or investigations of people who may actually have a sort of innocence that is being overlooked and in the interest of creating precedent or striking fear at various points in history, at least as long as I've been paying attention. And there's stuff in the FBI's history that certain initiatives, certain programs, certain training regimens, dare I say, were brought about because of how history looked on that agency's abuse or use of power under different administrations, whether it's wiretapping and policing and of groups or infiltrating political and other organizations, and basically criminalizing what would otherwise be perfectly normal activities of Americans. And now to sort of set aside those programs and go after individuals who might have more loyalty to those ethos and the rule of law and, again, those cumbersome things of American government in the interest of serving a benevolent leader who himself could be, you know, interested in some insane end from moment to moment, it presents as a danger to the citizenry in abject and acute ways. So that, I think, is why people are alarmed. Not that it's the agency that needs protection per se, but those that will need protection from an agency that operates under the rule of law, according to the Constitution, and in the interest of the due process and human rights, and the list goes on, all those sort of adorable things we thought this country represented.
Yeah, you know, and we've made our peace with being on the outside of most of this, with being opposed to many of the things that law enforcement does. But I think in the end, we always realize that for a society to function, you need to have checks and balances. You need to have some degree of law enforcement in order to keep things from spiraling out of control. That's not how these people are thinking. These people are thinking, you did something that was inconvenient to my side, therefore you are the enemy. And it doesn't matter if you're law enforcement. It doesn't matter if you're a cop or an FBI agent or whoever. If you did something, despite the fact that it's your job description, you have to investigate suspicious behavior or criminal actions, but if you did run afoul by doing that in the first place, you are now the enemy. We've seen it on January 6th, where cops were beaten by demonstrators who have now been pardoned. We saw it all through the various investigations of Trump, where law enforcement was looking into the charges against him. Keep in mind, this guy was on trial multiple times. He was convicted. He was accused of rape. He was accused of trying to steal an election. He was accused of holding on to confidential documents and refusing to give them back. The list goes on and on. Those are just the things that he was charged with. And in every case, except for the one where he paid off a judge, it's basically an open and shut case, all of which are being erased, and the people who brought them are being targeted. That is not democracy. And you guys who support this, you never, never again will have the right to say that you are pro-law enforcement. Absolutely not. You are hypocrites. Anyone who says they support the police, they support law enforcement, and then you attack them and try to destroy their lives when they do something that you don't like. You know, I've known a lot of people who have been targeted, who have been unfairly prosecuted, but never once have I seen any of them react in a way so short-sighted and immature. You know, it's hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp that people are this narrow-minded that when something doesn't go their way, they have to destroy everything that basically acknowledged that. That's where we are now. Those are the people in power. Those are the people in charge. And, yeah, you know, they're in power. We all know that. We all know that. You know, we're getting feedback from a lot of people saying, they were elected. You know, first of all, Elon Musk was not elected, but whatever. The point is, they were elected. They're hiring people to do all kinds of dirty work for them. It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't mean that you have to accept it. Yeah, accept the results of the election. Absolutely. That's what happened. But just because somebody was elected does not mean they're acting in an honorable way. And when they don't, you have the obligation to stand up and be counted and keep this from continuing, because this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. And wow, all the things that have happened so far.
That they were elected is such a trash argument, because how many of the same people were uttering, like, not my president when President Biden was elected, you know, and lapping up the lies around the election and whatever untruth this current president has decided is reality. I mean, they don't understand. I'm discriminating. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get indignant, but I've never been more satisfied to be educated, and I am discriminating about attitudes that are not.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Trump wants to dismantle the Department of Education, because education is the enemy. Science is the enemy. History is the enemy. There are so many enemies now, because they don't always play along with his narrative. And if you don't play along with his narrative, you are the enemy. That is the world we are living in right now in the United States. Yeah, all of a sudden, Biden doesn't look so bad, does he? Yeah, sure, he was doddering. Sure, you know, he wasn't very fair to the Palestinians. I know that. We all knew that. But we also knew this would be so much worse. And now here we are. And what the hell do we do about it? Okay, so anyway, today more than 5,000 employee details were submitted, including employee ID numbers, job titles, and whatever role they might have played in the January 6th investigations. More than 13,000 agents and 38,000 total FBI employees exist. Elon Musk and his officials dispatched by Elon Musk have been seen at FBI headquarters. How does this guy have all this power all of a sudden? You know, he was never elected by anybody, and he is the one barking out commands. You know, there was a news story in the New York Times over the weekend that referred to the people as Elon Musk's lieutenants. He has lieutenants. Does that not scare the crap out of you?
All of this has made conspiracy theories actually look true. And I think you said something funny when we were kind of having a little, like, mental exercise about what's at play and what the possibilities are. And you were, like, basically saying that a lot of those conspiracy theories seem to be the playbook here.
Yeah.
They are, and I've said, confirmation bias, definitely, like, trying to route out a deep state that may or may not exist. Well, you're going to create one in these actions, because there are people that absolutely will not bend over this. I've thought a lot about accusations over the years about our government, about the United States role. And I mean, we're kind of like borderline, like a for hire thug on the world stage at this point. And I'm curious, are authoritarian regimes really, have they always ever been in control? And that's where I say it's like, it is almost as though conspiracy theories are the playbook made real. And we have all been participating in a pantomime of democracy. And I mean, how is that far-fetched at this point? Because what recourse do we have but for actual senators and actual leaders to stick their necks out a bit? It is their job, and we demand it.
You know, one of the biggest conspiracy theories of the past couple of years is that the Justice Department was doing Joe Biden's bidding. Something that I didn't really buy into, just based on the nature of the investigations and the things that he would say. But what I'm seeing now, it's very overt. Trump is basically saying the Justice Department is doing what I want. So he's buying into that conspiracy and making it his own. Now, you can believe that Biden was calling the shots all along. I'm not sure how he's calling the shots and losing his mind at the same time, but whatever. The point is, there were a lot of independent investigations. By independent, I mean run by states, you know, run by different entities, not just federal authorities. And sure, Biden probably could have quelled them at any point in time, but I think he was content to just let it play out and not get involved. That's what I believe. Could be wrong, but, you know, haven't seen evidence to point to the contrary. But here, oh my God, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the Justice Department is just basically a puppet of Trump and his ilk. It's sad. It's pathetic.
It's every accusation made projection.
Right.
Like, it was always projection of his desires, but it was packaged in the form of an accusation. That's fact. I mean, it's the parallels and the evidence of it are at every turn of their words and actions. They'll say something they're accusing of. I mean, it's predictable.
Now, Trump's pick for FBI director, was he confirmed? Cash Patel, was he?
They've moved those to the Senate, Tulsi and Cash, I think. And the Senate is going to rubber stamp
it. And RFK Jr., they all are basically rubber stamping.
Two of them were today. I think they all will be sort of more or less rubber stamped.
Okay, well, anyway, Cash Patel pretty much has said, we're going to come after you. If you did anything that Trump doesn't like, we are going to investigate you. We are going to find you. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily lend itself to thinking the Justice Department is not under the direct control of the president. So, yeah, like you said, that's a conspiracy theory that is pretty much reality now. Okay, speaking of Musk, boy, a lot of news concerning him over the past few days. Aides to Elon Musk charged with running the U.S. government human resources agency have locked career civil servants out of computer systems that contain the personal data of millions of federal employees, according to two agency officials. Since taking office just 2 weeks ago, Trump has embarked on a massive government makeover, firing and sidelining hundreds of civil servants in his first steps towards downsizing the bureaucracy and installing more loyalists. Emphasis on that second part. Musk, if you don't know, the billionaire Tesla owner, who is tasked by Trump to slash the size of the 2.2 million strong civilian government workforce, has moved swiftly to install allies at the agency known as the Office of Personnel Management. The two officials who spoke to Reuters on condition of anonymity for fear of retaliation said some senior career employees at OPM have had their access revoked to some of the department's data systems. Those systems include a vast database called Enterprise Human Resources Integration, which contains dates of birth, social security numbers, appraisals, home addresses, pay grades, and length of services of government workers. We have no visibility into what they are doing with the computer and data systems, one of the officials said. That is creating great concern. There is no oversight. It creates real cybersecurity and hacking implications. It's really a nightmare.
Yeah, like, the practices are just out the window. They're going in, they're putting machines in just random places that are not at all designed for the type of information handling. And then, of course, where are copies of these things ending up? How are they handled? Like, chain of custody, all of that stuff's out the window. There's no oversight mechanisms at play here. And it would make it incredibly simple for someone out of that group with less integrity than the others, if any of them have any, to pass that along at personal for personal benefit in the form of trading in state secrets and the like, or perhaps making them widely available publicly for certain sorts of vigilante or other kinds of action. It could become wildly dangerous to, if this kind of information is treated so carelessly on a regular basis, and they're kind of making things up that suit them as they go, and of course also destroying things.
Yeah.
Like this is, there's abject destruction as well as a collection of things of interest to rot, to be rot, like to bring more destruction, rot, evil. I don't know.
There are
the
thousands,
one with the W.
Thousands of websites, government websites that have disappeared in the last few days. Thousands. There are numerous other sites that have had language changed to eliminate any reference to trans people or to any kind of equality or diversity or anything like that. The word diverse literally purged from, you know, it's an incredible amount of damage because when you have a data breach like that, and this is a data breach, you don't know if what you're getting back has the same integrity as what was there at the beginning. And that is the situation. Musk and his minions have been in there kicking the legitimate people who had access to this out, taking over their accounts. It's unclear how many records they have access to, whether it encompasses everybody who gets checks from the Treasury Department, which seems to be the thought right now. And we're talking anybody who gets a Social Security check. Elon Musk now could have access to your records without any kind of permission or going through the process. Look, there's the Privacy Act of 1974 that makes a lot of this really, really clear. You can't just, you know, have wide open doors and give access to people without having some kind of clearance. And that is what Musk did not have. And his team, I mean, the team including his current and former employees, basically assumed command of these federal agencies, the Office of Personnel Management. They just moved in. They moved sofa beds onto the fifth floor of the agency's headquarters, which contains the director's office. Can only be accessed with a security badge or a security escort, but not anymore. Now you have Elon Musk having free reign, as well as such well-known names as Akash Baba, Edward Carstein, Luke Farator, Galtier Cole Killian, Gavin Kligger, and Ethan Shoutran. Who are those people? Those are people just out of college. In fact, one person is a freshman in college, who have been given complete control over these computer systems and now are able to explore them, change them, do whatever Elon tells them to do or do whatever they want to do without any kind of process, clearance, or any of that. Because Elon Musk has been told he can do whatever he wants. Trump will back him up. Yeah, Trump was elected, but not for this. This is unconscionable, and action has to be taken. And I'm waiting for Democrats to actually do something. I know their hands are tied, but you have to do something. You have to rally people. You have to stand up to this, because if you don't, it all falls apart.
And I know that moving beds in and having sleepovers with college freshmen would raise some eyebrows. So I don't understand the double standard there. But while they're having their little sleepover, I think we need to look long and hard at the license to hack that we've all been issued. Because this is illegal. They're doing things to all of us in illegal ways, and in fact to the very authorities that would otherwise enforce transgressions, electronic and otherwise. So once they disintegrate those entities, who really is going to enforce the actions of us? I don't really understand the restraint after this level of illegality in government from these feigned authorities. So I would look, I would think long and hard about that while they're, you know, doing their hair and eating popcorn and giggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult. I know for, especially for elected officials, what do? But I think they really have to put their necks on the line now. This is where it counts. This is where it matters.
I want them locked out of their own machines.
Yeah, you're going to have to push. You're going to have to push these people a bit, you know, to get them to become completely crazy and irrational, because they're not far away from doing that right now. And yeah, we can say, oh, let's put together a better candidate in 2 years. We don't have 2 years. We might not have 2 months. We need to look in Germany. Okay, where Elon Musk has also been busy trying to get a fascist party elected for the first time since the Nazis, people turned up there. This is just him trying to get them elected, and 250,000 people showed up in the streets to voice their displeasure in loud tones. What's wrong with us? Why aren't we doing things like this? We can't just sit back and be entertained by this all. We're all going to feel the pain very, very soon.
My answer to that is that it does not come naturally. It ought to, but it doesn't. And in fact, because most of our institutions have been well run, where recourse in traditional democratic ways have gotten people enough satisfaction to live their lives and not have to be in the streets perpetually. What I will say, though, is the kinds of things that we're starting to hear from Democratic leadership about organizing, showing up, and demonstrating are on the right track. And I will say it is training wheels for that level of activity and action. And I think my boost of that, my suggestion, my roadmap for that is keep practicing. Show up sporadically, show up quickly and in large numbers, dissipate just as quickly, and show up somewhere else. Keep it moving. Keep it incredibly secret. There are plenty of tools to do that. And when you're really good at it across the country, you can start planning things that are larger and larger and larger and more meaningful. And that is how you do it. Keep practicing, people.
Wow, I'm going to follow you. You got it down. That's exactly right, though. That's exactly. And I want to hear from more people. Please write to us, otw@2600.com, with your ideas on steps to take. We really have to take an interest, because obviously the people doing these things have taken an interest, and they're taking a lot more than that. So, you know, if your freedom, if your democracy means anything to you, this is the time to prove it.
What democratic flash mob are you organizing?
Yes. Okay, you know what? I like being vindicated sometimes. Well, no, actually, I like being vindicated all the time. And when I called Brendan Carr an idiot a few weeks ago when he was just a lowly FCC commissioner, I meant it. But I mean it even more now when I want to call him a phenomenal idiot as chairman of the FCC, because, boy, this guy is a real danger and a menace. All right, he is basically following everything that Trump tells him to do. And at the expense of free speech, at the expense of journalism, at the expense of broadcasting outlets like the one we are on right now. And what is he doing now? He is going after NBC, ABC, CBS, and reviving complaints that came from the Conservative Center for American Rights, that generally aligns with Trump's gripes about media coverage, during the election that he won. Yeah, he's not happy with the way they covered the election that he won. Now, there actually were 4 complaints, one against CBS, one against ABC, one against NBC, and one against Fox. The complaints include one against ABC's Philadelphia affiliate, WPVI-TV, which alleged bias in ABC's hosting of the September presidential debate. One against WCBS-TV here in New York that accuses CBS of news distortion in the way that 60 Minutes edited an interview with Kamala Harris. And another against WNBC-TV in New York for alleged violations of the Equal Time Rule when Saturday Night Live featured Harris in a cameo the weekend before the presidential election. That's the one I called him an idiot about. He was initially criticizing that because he even admitted in his statement that they didn't break a law. They just were basically taking advantage of the law by being able to have somebody on a TV program close to the election, and that they shouldn't have done that, but they didn't do anything that was illegal. Well, now he's changed his tune, and he's going after all of that. Oh, and by the way, the complaint against Fox, that one was dismissed. Yeah, he's not going to go after Fox. So, yeah, he's trying to shut down these TV stations or find these TV stations. And the interesting thing is that it's a network that did all this. It's the NBC network, the CBS network, the ABC network. These are all nationally broadcast programs. It had nothing to do with the actual broadcast station, except for the fact that the network owns those particular stations. So that's how they're trying to do an end run and get them that way. Now, Brendan Carr is also targeting public radio and public television, PBS, NPR. They're not coming after us, I don't think, because I don't think we're big enough. But they will at some point, absolutely. They'll come after anyone who has an independent voice. And they're upset at PBS and NPR because they have an independent voice and they somehow are able to remain funded, even without federal dollars. This isn't about cutting federal dollars. This is about looking into how they raise money in other ways and whether that's proper and whether we should just replace them with a religious station. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But not as disgusting as Pete Hegseth. Can you believe this guy got... He actually got accepted. He won. He was nominated as the defense secretary in this new government. And right away, last Wednesday, when that horrible plane crash happened in Washington, D.C., first plane crash in decades of that nature. And, you know, while I hesitate to say this is something that Trump is responsible for, you have to look at some of the things that were happening with the FAA around that time, where basically jobs were being cut. Same thing you're seeing with the FBI. People were being purged because they were possibly hired under DEI and seen as not white enough, or whatever language they use to justify their dissatisfaction with the agency. Uncertain times. When you have uncertain times, people get distracted. I'm not saying it's related to this, but boy, what Pete Hegseth did, he basically backed Trump's ridiculous claim that diverse hiring practices were to blame for the deadly incident. He said the environment around which we choose pilots or air traffic controllers, as the president pointed out correctly yesterday, better be the highest standard. He implied that Captain Rebecca LeBach was not qualified due to her gender. It's just disgusting. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's former chief of staff, Kelly Maxim, and chastised Hegseth for implying what he basically said, and going on to say he has a lot to learn, stressing that the entire force and their families listen when he speaks as the Secretary of Defense, stressing that the people look at him for support and direction and not skepticism. She blasted him for implying that the pilot wasn't qualified due to her gender. She suggested he should be in favor of all three Army families. We're talking about the people on the helicopter. And a comprehensive investigation to add a layer of stress to this one family in their time of grief is shocking. Imagine having to worry about political attacks on your daughter while grieving from the Secretary of Defense. He should be showing leadership and consoling the families and overseeing an unbiased investigation. And this is after somebody who wasn't even there, a trans pilot from the Army, I believe, was named as one of the people on the helicopter, and she had to show proof of life that she wasn't there, had nothing to do with this, and was being targeted as the cause of all of it. This is a really ugly period in our history where this kind of thing becomes normal at the highest levels.
Yeah, I mean, the scapegoating aside, I think this is essentially setting up our airspace for real and possible attack. I mean, I don't want to see that at all, but if you have drunks at NORAD or leading that entity and the FAA is disintegrated with nothing but white boys who don't have the qualifications, I think that really opens the gates to some sort of adversary making some point. And as you dismantle your allies north and south and in Europe and everywhere else, what are you leaving but for adversaries to say, like, well, hey, why not? Our buddy Trump doesn't care. He'll be in a bunker somewhere, right? So, like, then you get to blame. There'll be some misdirection with blaming some domestic adversary for that action. You won't even hold the nation state that is implicated to account. And then, of course, the sorts of, like, martial law and other things that they are real keen on instituting to wield even more power and take away more from the people.
Well, this is what we're heading towards.
We'll help the third term and all that. I mean, just let's be imaginative people.
Yeah. I mean, they will institute martial law at the first opportunity. And I say we push them into that because that is how you actually get the change that you have to get in order to keep this from turning into the inevitable hell that not opposing these kinds of actions, these kinds of dark promises, if you don't stand up to that, it becomes normal. And once it becomes normal, there's no turning back. Hey, we are out of time. We didn't even make it through half of the stories we wanted to get to. But boy, there is a lot, and there's going to be a lot more. People, please pay attention. Know you're not alone. I know it's frustrating. I know people are tearing their hair out, but we're there with you. We're going to stay where we are, and we're going to fight as hard as we can. Kyle, you have 10 seconds to say.
Oh, well, anything. I was just going to mention, get some sleep while you can.
Yeah, good idea. Oh, boy, that's a good idea. Sleep is important. we all know the song by The Who, Won't Get Fooled Again. It's 8 minutes long. We can't play it, but we do have the single version. We found the single version of that. It's 3 minutes long. A lot is cut out, but I think the general point is there. People think they're overthrowing something, and they go through all of this, and they wind up right back where they started. The song's not quite accurate because you're winding up way further back than where you started. But I think the sentiment is there, and if you believe that fascists and billionaires have your back, you need to do some reading. You need to study some history. All right. OTW at 2600.com. Stay tuned to WUSB. We will see you next week. Good night.
Bye.
Oh. You are listening to The Struggle Session on WUSB Stony Brook. Marxism-Leninism in the 21st Century, baby. Let's go.